exactly what to preach on because I'm not sure, you know, just it doesn't seem as rich like to, as it does like today when I want to preach on everything, so I'll try not to preach all day. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. So the disciples hid in fear, and they were afraid for good reason. At this point, it was certainly less than popular to be associated with Jesus. Fear and hiding, those are things that kind of go together. It's a natural reaction to hide when we are fearful. Jesus shows up, stands among them, and says, "Peace be with you." Jesus shows up in kind of a non-conventional way. Surprise, surprise. He just sort of walks through and comes in. The doors were locked. And says, "Peace be with you." He doesn't say it just once. He says it twice. And he shows them his wounds. And their fear is assuaged, at least for the moment. Jesus rejuvenates them with his spirit breath. His spirit breath, the empowering, filling spirit. His followers receive the boldness that they need to begin their ministry, to take the good news into the world. Their sense of community that came with following Jesus, with being a part of who Jesus was, has been taken away from them. It's been shattered by the death of Jesus. And in this encounter, through the showing of the resurrected Jesus and the soul-filling breath of Holy Spirit, they find their sense of community again. Peace be with you. These same disciples who hide in fear gather their courage and their wits about them, and they go to the celebration of the Pentecost. The Pentecost occurs 50 days after the Passover, and it was a celebration, a spring celebration of the end of the spring harvest, and it was a big deal. People had worked hard, and they came together to party and to worship and thank God. Pentecost literally means 50. So that makes sense, too. It's amazing how many things make sense when you know about them, right? Now, the disciples, I want to just give you a little caveat. In studying the scripture for today, two things came to my mind. One of them was, first of all, sometimes I've had trouble reconciling the account of the Holy Spirit being given to the disciples by John as a quiet breath in the upper room. And then we have the Holy Spirit given to the disciples with fire and publicly at the celebration of the Pentecost. What I came to, and I just want to make sure that you understand that this is what I came to, and I've not read it anywhere. That doesn't mean it's not possible. But when I read, I try and think, what does this mean to me? How can this make my faith stronger? How can this make me more insightful into who I am in relationship with Jesus? And it occurred to me that it wasn't different at all. That Jesus offered the Holy Spirit to his disciples in peace, a sense of peace. Peace be with you. And then he offered it to them in the context of fire. Peace and fire. Those are two ways that the Holy Spirit works in my life. That they don't work against each other. These accounts don't work against each other, but teach us about the fullness of who the Holy Spirit really is. They receive the Holy Spirit of peace and then the Holy Spirit of fire. This Holy Spirit brings life from death, hope where there was no hope. All of the fears and woes of the world that existed for the disciples exist for us now. There's no shortage of fear in the world. There's no shortage of anger, of killing, of starvation, of poverty. But there's also no shortage of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. So we all know the Holy Spirit, right? Some of you are going to be saying, oh, no, I've never experienced a Holy Spirit moment. Well, I'm going to take issue with that and tell you that I believe that you have. Sometimes the Spirit manifests to us in a sense of a peace within us in a time of trouble. The knowledge that, okay, everything is going to end up okay. Sometimes the Spirit manifests as a fiery outrage in times of injustice. We all have this Spirit as a gift from God. The Spirit is with us all the time, watching over us all the time. One of the things that I really want to caution us about is the idea that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes to define and support our own needs. And sometimes we trivialize that idea of the Holy Spirit by saying, well, I have, this was a message from the Holy Spirit, of course I can do this, without really thinking of how that might trivialize what it is that God sent us, peace and fire. We want to justify what we want to justify. And sometimes this belief that the Holy Spirit is with us, that we do something through the power of the Holy Spirit, can be true. It can come through discernment. It can come through prayer, as opposed to rationalization for our own personal desire or action. We see evidence of this co-opting of the Holy Spirit in the language of worship and the language of politics. It's all around us. And in both of those languages, we find that God is somehow missing. If you think about it, if you think about times when they say, people say, well, this is a Holy Spirit moment. The Holy Spirit told me to do this. If you listen, it's often centered around that person, not centered around what it is that God would have us do. We claim the Holy Spirit as our own, neglecting the fact that it is a gift of God, from God, for all of us who ask for it. All we have to do is ask. Come, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is indeed here for all of us as a community. Certainly we as individuals, but as a community, as a whole, as the family of St. Francis, the Holy Spirit is here for us. And we have to really think about how we interpret God's Spirit and direction. Is it something that we desire or something that God desires? Peace and fire. In the Corinthians passage today, we see full-blown the difficulty that the early Corinthian church had. The members of the community were quick to claim that they had spiritual gifts of a mighty nature and that their gifts were the most important. Their gifts were the ones that the community should support the most. Well, Paul had his hands full, and here, red flag to note, part of the process that helps us to discern and avoid the pitfalls of the Corinthian church is to ask ourselves, is this gift glorifying God, or is it glorifying me? Is this gift from God, or is it from my desire? In the Corinthian church, this claiming of more important spirits caused conflict. And Paul taught the church the idea of we and the power of we as the messengers of the gospel news. And if we continue to read in Corinthians, Paul goes on to describe the community of faith as the body. We are the whole body, the body of Christ. Different members have different jobs. And one cannot do without the other. Separate parts of the body, each with an important role, but also dependent on other parts. That's us, the church. We all have a role to play in our life here as a community and as well as our life in the world. The Spirit is at work in each of us. It's at work in the community. It's at work here in this place. And I already said that many of you are thinking, I don't have any spiritual gifts. I don't speak in tongues. I don't heal the sick. And I just say balderdash. Each one of our gifts are different, but they're mighty, even if they seem unimportant. A gentleman named William Toms said, "Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible someone ever reads." How do we recognize and empower what our spiritual gifts are? First, if any spiritual gift that we might have creates community, not division, peace, and fire. We may even find that what we think of as our spiritual gift is filled with peace and also filled with fire. That's good. And sometimes we can find our gifts through prayer and discernment. And sometimes we're surprised by our gifts, about what they might be. No one can necessarily tell you. They may recognize a gift, your gift, but they cannot tell you what it is until you have a discussion with the Holy One about the truth of whether this gift is indeed a gift of the Spirit. A lot of gifts of the Spirit are listed in the Bible, but it's not an exclusive list. The idea of somebody reading you as Bible is a gift. If someone can look at you and see the light of Christ in your face and a sense of hope because of the person that you are and how you treat someone, how you speak to someone, how you offer your kindness, that's a gift. That's a gift of the Spirit. Fears? Yeah, I've got some things I'm afraid of that I'd like to hide from, as I'm sure each of us probably does. But I know that if I stop and think about the gift of the Spirit that Jesus has given us, both in peace and in fire, that I can know that all is well. And I can know that God watches over me, that God's Holy Spirit is with me, and there is no end to the promise of that Spirit. So today we're going to celebrate Pentecost. We're going to have some fun, because the celebration of Pentecost was a party. It's considered by some to be the birthday of the church, because from this event, the disciples got their act together and went out into the world and began to establish the church. It's a great day in the church. Somebody asked me why Pentecost was red. Well, I mean, the martyrs are red because of the blood shedding, and the only thing I could think of was fire, so I'm going to look it up later and let you know. But it's red, so we're going to celebrate with some red treats, with red garb, with bells, and offer thanksgiving to a God who loves us enough to never leave us. Amen.